T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
With the third pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, the San Francisco 49ers select Trey Lance, quarterback, North Dakota State.
Now, back to the Morning Roast with Vontae and Shasky.
Spinoni's in a good mood, man. He's feeling Michael Penix Jr. in the silver and black. Oh, man, Spinoni. He don't even care about the Lakers going down 0-3 today to the Nuggets, right? He don't even care.
No, if they get Penix, I will be ecstatic tomorrow morning.
They're going to have to jump up.
I don't think they have to jump up. Yes. No, I think 13, he will be available.
I think an 8-9 is where they're going to have to. I think the Bears, I could realistically see the Bears trading out of 9.
By the way, we got Dave Fleming on. I know he's on hold, but make sure you subscribe to the Garlic Fries Baseball Guys podcast.
That's BS, man.
No, it's not BS. No, it's not. Sam Lubman.
The real deal, Holyfield.
Joe Shasky bring you the best damn Giants talk in the Bay Area, period, every week, all
like
season long.
Like a King
long.
Win start.
And you can subscribe today on iTunes and Spotify. And guess what? Sam Lubman caught up with Jordan Hicks. How did Sam Lubman sneak into the clubhouse and get Jordan Hicks? That's coming out tomorrow. I can't wait. Can't wait for it. Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys. And I can't wait for to talk to Dave Fleming, who's on the line right now. Dave, good morning once again. Thanks
morning,
for
Dave.
Always joining us here. Giants get the series win. Last night was a dud. Obviously, the day started off on a rocky note because Blake Snell has been placed on the IL with the left adductor strain. So, Flynn, good morning to you. Hope you're doing well. What's the severity so far of the injury? We heard from Blake Snell yesterday. It sounds like it's not as serious. It could just be a 3-week injury for him.
I just want you guys to talk about me the way you talk about Mike Florio when you sign off with him. Man.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Don't worry,
good.
Flynn. We got you covered, man.
Hey,
we got
Dave, you covered. There was a point in time where Mike Florio was ready to stab us both with a pen in the eye.
No.
And so we've come a long way with him.
We've
come a very long way.
Hopefully we never get you to that point.
Good. He's got a lot of info, but you can't – come on, man. You can't say – all right, give me something wild off the board. You can't say Minnesota stays put.
Like, what are you talking about? Like, well, Flip, I guess it would be wild to stay put with Sam Darnold, right?
What?
Maybe that's the wildness in it. Maybe it's wild that he's staying with Sam Darnold with Minnesota.
Flem's a roaster.
I was looking for something fun, man.
Yeah. Me too.
I know. I wanted him to say the Niners are trading up the top 5 to go get Michael Penix Jr.
Right.
Yeah, give me some. Give
exactly.
me some juice. Oh, man. Well, you give us some juice on Blake Snell, Flem.
No,
it's your turn.
Flem, here's what I want to forget. Like, you, no one knows how good Flem, how good Snell's going to be and how long he's going to be. But here's what I want to know. Like, Boris had a horrible offseason, just in general. And I think, like, I don't blame the Giants. I just think Snell should be frustrated. Boris clearly botched this. The Giants probably wanted to get a deal done sooner rather than like, no one won in this situation. And the poor guy's now hurt right now. It sucks if you're a fan of baseball.
It does. It does. And it's they're trying to figure out how do we keep this from happening. And it's hard. It's hard to tell players like, okay, we're going to put a limit on when you can sign, or because then, you know, I think the players feel like, well, that works against us. That taps down our market. But like, it's not good for anybody to have those free agents last out there as long as they did. It's terrible. It's bad for the game. It's bad for them. You're right. And Scott Boras will never admit this, but it's really bad for his clients, really bad.
No doubt.
And it's happened now several years in a row. It doesn't help them be the best they can be. You know, part of your job as an agent is to get your guy the most money. The other part of your job is to help him be the best he can be and be as happy as he can be. And it's just a total failure on that front. And the strategy stinks for everybody all involved. Now, you know, there have been some, like, proposals about, okay, there's a deadline of January 15th, and after that you can only sign a one-year contract or something. But the players just view all of that stuff as limiting for them, as hurting them. But something like that needs to happen. The problem, it all goes back to all the other leagues have a cap, and they have a floor, and teams know they have to spend a certain amount of money, and it's just baked in. And so you can put these sort of limits, and you can have a free agency week or a free agency couple weeks, and it works in baseball because you don't have those restraints. That doesn't work. It's a really hard problem to solve, but it stinks for everybody.
Yeah, that's a good point. As we're talking to Dave Fleming, one of the many voices, great voices of the San Francisco Giants, but he does a little bit of everything, college football, college basketball, of course, and he was at the Masters a couple weeks ago in Augusta, Georgia. So Blake Snell will be out, and he got off to a rocky road, but one guy who hasn't gotten off to a rocky start has been Logan Webb, who I believe right now may be the best pitcher in the National League. I threw at Chasky because he's our baseball historian. Even though I do love the game too, Flem, Greg Maddux vibes I get from Logan Webb because of how quickly he works. He gets the grounders. He paints. He has a lot of movement. Now, Greg Maddux is special. He's a Hall of Fame pitcher. I get all that. But what Logan Webb is doing right now, 7-7-7-8, that's the innings he's pitched the last four outings. Really had the one stinker in Dodger Stadium. Logan Webb could do no wrong, man. It feels like an automatic, hey, we're going to be in a game once Logan Webb is on that mound.
Maddux is not a bad, it's not a bad comp. It isn't. I mean, they are different. Maddux is the all-time greatest at that style of pitching. So it's not, you know, whenever you compare somebody to somebody that good, but that is who he's like. He is. And he's built to just go out there time and time again and give you, it's not just consistency because that just undersells it. You know, I think part of what makes me upset about when people evaluate Logan Webb is they focus so much on the innings, which are hugely valuable. They are. It's a big part of who he is. He takes pride in it more than anybody in the game right now. He takes pride in going deep in the game. He wants to eat up as many innings as possible. That's like one of his number one goals. But it does undersell him. Like, it's not just that he's out there soaking up innings. He's dominating during those innings. He is one of the hardest guys to hit in the game. I love watching him pitch. I mean, I think, you know, for too long we have celebrated the strikeout, and there's a good reason why. Strikeouts can be exciting and fun, and a guy who's, you know, like you think of when you think of Lincecum or Dwight Gooden or Pedro Martinez, you sort of think of the strikeout, and like those are the guys that are considered the most exciting pitchers.
Right.
But I tell you what, when I watch Logan, I don't know if you guys feel the same. I find it really fun to watch him get the weak contact and go through an inning in seven. Like, to me, it's fun to be there and watch like three of the best hitters on the other side. Ground ball, pop up, and the inning's over just like that, and he saunters back into the dugout. I know it's not quite the same, but I love watching the pitch.
This, I'm going to go old school. He's a way better John Burkett. I mean, he's just, the guy is a stud, and that sinker, splitter, whatever the hell that thing is, I absolutely love it, and he's in a beast this year. There's a lot of good stories going on right now. I know the overall record isn't, you know, as robust as other people want. Like, Bailey's hitting right now. Chapman's coming around. Conforto has been, I feel like, awesome this year, but I want to get to Lamont Wade Jr. because I feel like I've slept on him. I felt like, you know, he's going to come back down to earth. He's having a monster start to the year. 21 hits. He's got the 11 walks. Situational base running. He seems to always come through with the big hits. I'm loving what I'm seeing from Lamont Wade right now.
Yeah, you should. And he hadn't even hit a home run yet. No. I mean, or, you know, he basically hasn't gotten the power stroke going. And so that's, you know, I think that will come. We've seen that from Lamont. Like, he definitely has the power to hit 15, 20 home runs. So I think, you know, there could be, I'll have to ask him, because I haven't asked him this yet, like, is he trading a little power swing for just more contact, more on base? I don't know what the answer to that is. But it's, if that's what he's doing, it's working. I mean, he's really leading the league in on base average. Basically, I don't know if he's yet qualified. For a couple days ago, he still didn't have quite enough plate appearances to qualify. But he's been a really good player. I mean, I would say of the early season position players, Jung Ho Lee's kind of in a different category because the production, the eye test is like big time. Like, okay, this guy's going to be really good. But the numbers are modest so far. I would say Bailey and Wade have been the two best Giants position players so far.
Well, a guy we don't talk enough about, we asked George Consos yesterday about it, but Keaton Wynn. I mean, this guy's been dealing. As a number five starter, he's kept the Giants in every single game this season, and he got rewarded Monday night with a great performance against the New York Mets. This guy, we don't talk about him enough. Who is this guy? What is he like around the team? You're around him. I want to get to know this guy a little bit more because he could be a factor in this rotation. You know, Robbie Ray, we don't know about. We don't know about Alex Cobb. Obviously, Blake Snell's out. What this young man pitching in the five spot for the Giants in this rotation?
Yeah, I think it's a good question, and it's likely that they're going to need a lot more from him than maybe people assumed. Like, I think, you know, the beginning of the year is like, oh, well, you could just throw Keaton Wynn in the bullpen. I don't know if we're going to be able to do that the way that everybody kind of assumed. I think Keaton Wynn's going to be an important part of the starting pitching group. We told the story last year when he first came up. He's from Ollie, Iowa, count of 180. I can't remember one stoplight or zero stoplight. Huh. Legitimately like tiny town Iowa. Had never been in a big league ballpark ever until he made his major league debut. That was the first time he had set foot in a major league stadium. So he's got the whole sort of small town Iowa thing going.
Yeah, that's right.
He was first team all state in like five different sports. You know, he was a great high school wide receiver. He was a great pitcher. He was a really good basketball player. The dude is a massive kid. Like when you stand next to him, he's 6'5", like 240, and looks every bit of it. Like he's one of the biggest guys. He's bigger than Jorge Soler. I mean, he's a big dude. So you can see how he was such a good high school athlete. This guy's just a physical specimen. Really quiet kid, like really quiet, but wants to learn, wants to be around Webb, wants to learn from the veteran guys, wants to be really good. The biggest question with him has been in his career, staying healthy.
Yeah.
For a guy who looks the part, like he's jacked, he is a physical presence, he's had a hard time staying healthy. If he can stay healthy, he's got massive ability. The guy's really good.
You know, I look at this defense as a whole, just for the whole pitching staff. It's been excellent. Last year, I mean, there's no other way around. I mean, errors per game, total errors, just the way they played defense, they were horrific. And I'm seeing this guy, obviously Chapman has helped. Tyro's made some plays at second base. Nick Ahmed, offensively, two-strike hitting, coming through with way more RBIs than I anticipated early on. I don't know if that's sustainable. But defensively, he's been really, really good. No knock on Crawford. It wasn't his best year defensively last year. But I think Nick Ahmed is a guy that you're not going to get a lot of questions about. Mm-hmm. If you're watching every night, he's been awesome. Like, an awesome addition.
Yeah, I'm surprised, too. Not that we haven't seen it before from him, but just the way that the Diamondbacks treated him the last couple of years just made me think, oh, well, they must know, right? He's been with them for 10 years. They must know he's toast. Because they basically, you know, and he's not happy about it. Like, they didn't include him in the World Series. You know, even he was hurt, but instead of – this guy's played more games at shortstop than any player in their franchise's history. And instead of kind of embracing him and, hey, we want to make sure you're feeling like you're a part of this. Like, they didn't do that. And so, you know, I basically thought, gosh, that must mean something really went wrong. He looks to me like the guy the Giants played against for all those years. Yeah. Like, he looks spry. He looks athletic. His defense, I mean, again, Brandon Crawford's the greatest shortstop in the history of the Giants, period. I love Brandon Crawford. But Nick Ahmed is playing a better shortstop right now than than Brandon did last year. They've upgraded at that position, yeah. And he has given him good at bats.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah, big two-out single the other night against the New York Mets as they won that series here. All right, shift the gears for him because you touch on everything. You're a big part of college football. These Pac-12 quarterbacks coming out today. Caleb Williams, we all assume.
Michael Penix.
That he's going number one in Chicago. It's a great situation for Caleb Williams. But Bo Nix and Michael Penix Jr., how will they do, Flem? How will they do? Because nobody's, you know, Penix is obviously, we saw him in the national championship game, struggled a bit there, but he had the big game against Texas.
I went to the last Pac-12 championship game at Allegiant Stadium.
I wonder how you got there,
because of Vontae. Yeah. Not impressed with Bo Nix at all. Very impressed with Penix.
Are you impressed with Bo Nix? I know you're impressed with Penix, but what about Bo Nix?
Well, Bo Nix is a great kid. It's important at quarterback in the NFL, like to be a charismatic guy, a hard worker, a processor, a bright kid, like all those things really matter at quarterback in the NFL. And he's got that stuff. I never looked at Bo Nix playing college football thinking, oh gosh, that guy's making NFL throws. Like I just never saw him that way. He did put up massive numbers at Oregon, so I don't want to say he can't do it. Michael Penix is, since Andrew Luck, he's the most natural thrower that I've watched. Wow. I think Michael Penix's arm talent, I hate that term sort of, but like it's hard to find a better alternative. I am wowed by the way that guy throws the ball. But I understand teams who look at him and say he's just not going to stay healthy. He is not a big dude. He's got these long arms and massive hands that helps him spin the ball the way he does. But his lower body is not really built. He looks fragile, and he's had a lot of injury problems. And it's a different animal playing in the NFL. So I look at if teams evaluate him and say, well, we like his talent. I would take a chance on him just because, like, if we can find a way to protect him and bulk him up a little bit and get our medical group with him, he can make every throw you would ever need to make. He can throw deep. He can throw short. He can throw to the sideline. He's got touch. That guy is a pure, pure natural thrower. Big time.
You got our boy Joe Spinone over here smiling.
He's a Raider fan.
He's a Raider fan. He wants Penix bad at 13.
As a thrower of the football.
But what about Jaden Daniels? He was at Arizona State. I know you called some Sun Devil games. What about him going in that top five?
He was a mess at Arizona State, and I really have a hard time evaluating him because he was not a good player at ASU. And so that memory is lingering in my brain. I watched him at LSU, and I acknowledge how great he was there. Now, he had some awesome receivers around him at LSU. That's not all that he did, but, you know, you go in the SEC and do what he did, you got a lot of ability. But I'm having a hard time getting it out of my head what I saw at Arizona State. The body language was terrible. He didn't understand where he was supposed to go with the ball. He held onto the ball way too long. Can you get better? Yeah, he obviously got a lot better, but I would have a hard time watching those games and thinking I'm taking that guy in the top five.
Dave, I love talking with you about other Bay Area sports teams because I know you have an opinion on this. I know you have. What are you doing with Brandon Ayuk?
Oh, boy,
You know you can't pay everyone.
I thought you were going to ask about Mike Krzyzewski.
No. Mike Krzyzewski's playing better. But here's what
to get that out of you.
And Michael Conforto made a great catch the other day. I'm so happy Conforto did that against the Mets because I can tell it meant more to him. But no, what are you doing with Brandon Ayuk? You trading him?
I'm not trading him if it's me. Part of the problem for me is I don't like it's the thinnest position on their whole team, isn't it?
Yeah,
like, feels like it.
I just don't see. You know, if you're counting on drafting somebody to replace him, good luck with that. Like that's just not a. You might find that guy, but it's really hard to do that. It's really hard. The draft is just, you know, you do your best and you watch as much tape as you can and you hope, and the Niners do have a good track record with receivers, but it's not perfect. You know, Dante Pettis and these guys that they drafted high that didn't play a down. I mean, it's hard to do. And I just worry if you trade Brandon Ayuk, Deebo Samuel is a great player, but is also going to get hurt at some point for sure. George Kittle is going to be hurt at some point, and you're just really thin there. So I don't know that they can afford to. I understand the whole thing about how do you pay everybody, but they're not deep at that position, and Brandon Ayuk's a great player.
Dave, we were talking about, like, guys, and you bring up the Pac-12 because you did it for so many years. You do other games as well. I was convinced Andrew Luck was going to win multiple Super Bowls. Now, for a variety of reasons, it didn't come to fruition. Who's the guy that you were the most wrong about going from college to the NFL, one way or the other?
Golly, that's a good question. You were not wrong about Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck was a Hall of Fame NFL quarterback who just got in a terrible situation and got his body ruined by that situation. So you were not wrong about Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck dragged that sorry franchise to an AFC championship game when they were doing absolutely nothing to support him, like nothing. His kidney was burst, his shoulder was torn up, and he got him as far as anybody could put. Brandon, if Andrew Luck had landed, like, say, where Brock Purdy landed, oh my God. You know, I mean, you're talking about five Super Bowl wins or something like that. Andrew Luck's an all-time Andrew Luck's an all-time talent.
I totally agree.
I might have to get back to you on that one. Like, I definitely have a lot of misses, but
well, give me one.
I'm just trying to think of who, like, a good...
Darnold?
You know, a couple of these USC...
quarterbacks.
I don't know about Darnold. A couple of the USC receivers, really thought were...
Mike Williams?
You know, I thought Mike Williams was going to translate. I don't know. He had some personal issues that might have gotten in the way. I'll have to think about, though, like, the just purely based on talent, not off-field stuff, who my biggest miss was, because I definitely had some.
I thought Matt Leinart was going to be a star. Huh. He had like one incompletion in that second half in the Rose Bowl against Texas. I was like, man, the accuracy, he's a lefty, he's got the moxie, the poise. I thought Leinart was going to pop. I really did. But that's another USC quarterback, man. They seem to do that to us at times.
Yeah, SC's had a really weird track record. And look, some programs, that's the case. And LSU... You know, LSU's produced a lot of great players, but they've, you know, the quarterback track record there is not very good. Ohio State finally has a quarterback who's working out. That kind of stuff would spook me a little bit. The other thing I'd say right now in college football, because I did the Orange Bowl, and so I saw Georgia up close, and I saw the staff, the coaches. Like, Georgia is the new Alabama. Just pick some Georgia players.
Hey, Ladd McConkley?
I want the right tackle, Mims or Maravius Mims. He's like 6'8", 340.
He's a monster. Like, Ladd McConkley's really good. Yeah. I think he's going to be a good NFL player. Like, I was watching him just warm up field level. He's strong. He's super explosive. Like, he's a good player. I really like the safety, the guy Bullard. He's a good player.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah. He saw it.
He's going to be a good NFL player. Just super smart. Knows where to be. Kirby's taught him. He can see everything. He's a leader on that team. They got, and the cornerback would be a good pick for the Niners, I think.
Guy out of Iowa?
What's his name? Well, I like him too.
DeJean.
But is it Kamari Lattimore for Georgia?
Yes.
He's going to be a good NFL player.
Are you in or out? Last question here. In or out on the Kirby Smart? It's the high crown visor. Would you rock the high crown visor? I do from time to time on the golf course.
I'm in on that. I wouldn't do it, but I'm in on Kirby doing it. Kirby can do whatever he wants. I haven't had a chance to be around him very much, just because, you know, he's almost always on that CBS game, and so, you know, I haven't been around him much. That guy has it going on.
No doubt.
He is buttoned up. He really is Nick Saban. Like, he's got his hand on everything on that program. It is very professional, but in the best way, like, cares about the kids. Like, I'd be leaning into the Georgia players if I were an NFL team.
I mean, Philadelphia has. Philadelphia's facing Georgia East. Oh, man. Yeah. Flip, I love talking draft. We could do this for the next hour, man, but I know you're busy. So, hey,
sports we'll talk Christmas. To you next
week. It is Happy sports Christmas. There's a lot going on. NBA playoffs. We got the Giants rolling here, winning some series, splitting the series against Arizona. A lot of good things happening in the Bay Area. Flynn, we'll talk next week.
The Giants are good, and we will, and I guess we'll be talking. I'll be at Fenway.
That's right. Fenway. I was showing my fiance yesterday to Fenway Park. She works with a person for Boston. I was like, we got to go to Fenway.
You can go to New Balance. It's right across the street.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Shohei, I'm out.
Flynn, take care, man. We'll talk to you from Boston.
All right. See ya.
All right, man. Dave Fleming.
God, he's
yeah. Hey, Flynn, I hope you hear this. We love you.
No, he is the
You're
best.
As good as we get, he as dropped, it gets here.
Okay, so one
Baldy
of my favorite
Flynn,
moments,
I don't know which one. I don't know.
When he went, he would have won 5 Super Bowls, and he means that with all his chest.
No,
look, I believe, like, situation matters. Today, there's so many guys that are going to get drafted. But the situation you land on, like, okay, we talk about Trevor Lawrence.
Yep.
You know, if you put Brock Purdy with Urban Meyer on that Jaguar team, it looks nothing like what he looks like on the Niners. So we can all acknowledge that, right?
Yep, no
you know, you've heard this for years. Well, if Joe Montana was drafted by the Tampa Bay Bucks, ask Steve Young. I've read his book, Quarterback, 1,000 times, QB. And he's like, dude, Tampa, we had no chance.
No chance.
To the Niners, and I thought that I was working for a Fortune 500 company where I had no shot of not succeeding, where everyone, if I wanted to be the best version of myself, I had to compete there. The Andrew Luck situation is a great example, and he is one of the great prospects outside of Elway.
He's unbelievable.
Right?
Coming off that Orange Bowl against Virginia Tech. I mean, going to those games, the way he worked tight ends, Andrew Luck.
Pre-snap, just pointing?
I loved Andrew Luck at quarterback.
Me too. He's my prototype.
When they came to Kettlestick Park the weekend, Alden Smith got into that trouble. In that fourth quarter, Andrew Luck put on a clinic. And I just remember him walking into the end zone on that quarterback bootleg, spiking the ball, just yelling at Kettlestick. Yeah. And I was like, does he have something against Harbaugh? Is there something there? Like, what is up with that relationship?
In the history of the game, coming out of college as a prospect, not what you know them to be, their Hall of Fame resume and all that, as a prospect, it's Elway and Andrew Luck, to me, that are the two prototype number one overall quarterback
picks. You don't put Peyton Manning there?
I prefer a little bit of speed and the arm strength. Peyton Manning's definitely
was like, no doubt. There was the bloodline too.
Right, because of Archie Manning. No, but I, if you're asking me what I prefer the Elway, Andrew Luck style.
Well,
Elway was more dynamic than Andrew Luck.
Elway was, I mean, you had every team in the league, including the 49ers, trying to trade up for John Elway. He was can't miss.
And Michael Vick, I loved, but I didn't know he would do that.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
I don't know what this is going to look like.
But John Elway, I mean, he was going to be a Raider. But Al Davis was busy suing the NFL, and Pete Rozelle was like, yeah, we're not going to let that happen. He's not getting John Elway. I mean, he was going to trade away Howie Long. Is it Greg Townsend, Howie Long, or something like that?
It's going to be Marcus Allen and John Elway.
Wow. Well, and then Bo Jackson the next year.
And then they said
that. Because when Bo Jackson said, I'm not playing for Tampa Bay, and he said he got a call from Al Davis, said, would you like to be a Raider? And Bo Jackson's eyes lit up.
The situation matters, though, right?
Matter,
it really does matter.
Well,
so
I'm looking at quarterback misses right now, right?
Yeah.
Tony Banks, Michigan State. I don't think he was really that good.
No, Akili Smith.
But Tony Banks and Akili Smith.
Yeah.
Cincinnati was a mess.
Kajana Carter.
St. Louis Rams were a mess with Tony Banks. Yeah. So I think situation, and we're learning this in baseball, maybe not so much in baseball as opposed to basketball or football. Fit, situation, the culture of the situation.
Absolutely.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.